Are we on now? Good evening and welcome to the craziness that is the Alternative In Conversation show with myself, Andrea, AJ, and we have a special guest, but I'm not going to let you know who that is just yet. So you're just going to have to stay tuned in. And yes, we have got a full content for you this week. It's going to look a little bit crazy. It's going to look a bit mad. But we've got some sanity with us as well. So over to you, AJ.
Right, okay. Thank you very much there, Andrea. As you probably guessed, I gave Andrea one task, and that was to create an intro, and she forgot. Sorry, Andrea. Had to mention it. How are you anyway?
I'm good. I've been busy. What's new? Always busy.
Yes, aren't we both? We're always very busy. But you had a bit of a computer meltdown, haven't you?
Yeah, it's somehow, I would like to say that it was Google that introduced the bug, but I suspect it might have been Microsoft that introduced it, and then Google carried it on and kept the bug going. So, yeah, it's been causing a bit of chaos for the last 24 hours, just doing constant restarts. Yes. I'd have about 20 minutes, then do a restart, and I go, yeah.
Yeah, it's an absolute nightmare, isn't it, when it doesn't want to do what you want it to do. But there we go. Right, okay then, so let's just quickly run through our schedule for tonight, if we should call it that. We're going to start off with, I forget her name. Oh my God, straight away I forgot her name. I want to keep saying Jess, but I think it's Jo. Yeah, Jo Ellis. She's the transgender helicopter pilot who has been so-called responsible for this Washington, D.C. crash, but we're going to let you into something else about that. Andrea wants to talk a little bit about the 51st state. This is something which she's found out there, which seems to be quite funny when I had to listen to it. And then we've got someone who's going to be joining us a little bit later on. And we're going to go on to Brunei also, asking how safe is it for travellers to go over there. And we've got a few other bits and pieces as well. We've got the LGBTQ quadruples. The youngsters are starting to come out a little bit more. And we've got a little bit lighthearted Eurovision as well. And there's one other thing which I remembered. That is a TikToker bullied, mugged in Blackpool. We've got a chat about that one and how safe things are and what we can do. So, Andrea, should we kick things off then with Jo Ellis?
Yes. Now, Jo, who's served for 15 years with the Virginia National Guard and is a qualified pilot, she flies the Black Hawk helicopter, and she's been deployed to Iraq on operations on a few occasions, earning the Air Medal for her role as a door gunner. And she's been falsely accused of causing or being the primary reason for this air crash between a Black Hawk helicopter and a civil aviation aircraft in Washington, D.C., which they were very, very quick to announce that it was her.
Yeah,
wasn't
the same day?
It was the same, literally within hours of the crash, they announced that it was down to DEI hires, and then they named Jo Ellis as the pilot of the Black Hawk.
Sorry, Andrea, what's DEI?
Diversity, Equity and Inclusion.
Right, okay. And what exactly is that, though?
Well, basically, it brings in policies within organizations and government to remove discriminatory laws. So they can no longer say this role is only for white males.
Right.
It has to be open to all.
So basically everybody's got to have a chance.
Everybody gets a chance. That's all. Yeah, that's all it does is it makes life more equal across the board for all potential employees. So people are then employed on their skills and their abilities, not on the color of their skin, not on their gender, not on their sexual orientation, but purely on their abilities and skills and qualifications.
Okay. That sounds like a really good idea.
And it is a brilliant idea. And when it works well.
Right.
However,
Oh, I knew
you do get some organizations that think that it's not always the best, namely the Orange Clown. Not going to say any more to that, but they believe that they bring everything down. Sorry, I'm trying not to laugh because the orange clown has just made an appearance.
We're blaming our guest. Our guest is actually here with us on Zoom at the moment, but they're staying very quiet. But they just keep showing the clown.
Right. So, as I said, Joe was falsely accused of being the pilot. Now, we know that the pilot was killed in the crash. So how can it be that Joe was able to appear on social media and on the likes of TikTok, Facebook, in a video comment 24 hours after the crash and say, it wasn't me. I wasn't flying.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show they're so quick to pin the blame on someone else. And in reality, just spreading misinformation.
Yeah. And I mean, Joe's been with the Virginia National Guard for 15 years. And she transitioned as a pilot and she got so much support. So you can imagine what this is making her feel like. You know, when she's been accused, and the people who are accusing her, like you said, they've done it so quickly, so early, yet they've spared zero thought for the families of the people who have just been killed.
Well, and this is the other thing is that the Orange Clown refused to even go to the site of the crash site.
That's right.
Which is normally something that is done out of respect for the families of those who have been lost.
But what did he say?
And the fact that they basically said, what do you want me to do, swim out there?
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. And,
just absolutely, well, it was just so insensitive. He was more aimed at blaming anyone other than himself, because ultimately he's the one that has stripped out the FAA's ability to carry out their job properly, and he's stripping out more and more all the time. So it's just goes to show that they're so quick to blame the trans community in particular, because we are their boogeymen for some reason. I don't
easy
know why.
Target. Easy target, as always, Andrea. We're always an easy target for these people. And the problem is, you've got the people like, as you would call him, the Orange Clown. He repeats everything over and over again until he believes it and he makes everybody else believe it. That's his strategy. That's what he wants to do all the time.
And there is an element of that, but there's also an element of this shock and awe syndrome that if you spout out so much and you bring in so much right at the beginning, you just add confusion and people then get confused about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that element to it. And I think he's done that so much that he's even confused about what's going on.
Well, yes,
because I don't think he knows.
He's clueless. He's clueless. You know, he's shocking.
There was some questions about President Biden's cognitive abilities. But to be quite honest, the Orange Clown's cognitive abilities are probably 10 times worse.
What abilities are those?
Cognitive. In other words, the ability to think, you know, like the ones you keep losing.
Yeah. You're right. The things that he's coming out with and doing and saying, it's beyond belief. It really is. And I feel so sorry for those people who are over it in America. Now, I've been watching a lot of TikTok bits and pieces, and there's a trend now. I don't know if you've seen it, Andrea, about people leaving MAGNA. And they're all apologising. What have we done? I regret my decision to vote, etc. And it's just so funny to watch now because they are so distraught because they thought it was going to be so much better and it's gone the complete opposite way.
Exities.
That's the one. I mean, I saw another one where it was somebody had got together, there's some group throughout the world, and it was all about eggs. And the price of eggs in Greece, the price of eggs in Australia, London, etc., all over the place. And it was like working out at an average, say, just over $2. Now, I'm sure our guest will confirm this later. But in America, you're paying something like $10 for eggs. Now, that's...
It's ridiculous.
It might seem like a trivial thing, but it just goes to show the way things are going.
Yeah. And what is so funny about this is we were warning them. Lots of people within the community were warning them, this is what is going to happen if the orange clown gets in. Now, just to add to that, a slight departure from that particular subject, but this is one of those things that we were warning. We were all saying that this is going to lead to, it's not just trans rights on the chopping block, it's LGBTQ rights, it's women's rights, it's educational rights. It's literally every single right. The only people who will have rights before long will be the cis white man.
Yes.
Who has money.
Yes.
I stress, has money. Now, just to emphasize that, one of the things that we did say was that they'd be coming after women's rights. Now, in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Freedom Caucus members have proposed an ending to no-fault divorce. Now, this was introduced by Senator Dustin Devers, who's a Republican, who's proposed a pair of bills to end no-fault divorce and implement a covenant marriage. Now, for those that are not aware of what a covenant marriage is, basically, it means that once you become married, you do not have any legal cause to escape from an abusive relationship. You're tied into that marriage until death do you part. So it's pretty draconian. It's this, you're talking going back to the 1800s. This is how bad it is. And this is what's just been introduced under Senate Bill 829 in Oklahoma. And the maggots, they were saying, this isn't going to happen. This is never going to happen. Well, it's happening right now. And if the maggots don't like it, then they're the ones that are going to need to speak to their representatives. Get them on the phone. Go and visit them in their office. They're all public buildings. They can go in and see their senator without any issues. Okay? Even if they don't see the senator, they can literally go and see their representatives and basically tell them how they feel about this decision. But remember, the maggots voted them in, and the maggots are the only ones that really should be going in and saying, oi, I didn't vote for this. On your horse and go and find something else to do.
It's absolutely shocking, isn't it? It really is.
It is.
It's almost just like they're undoing everything that's been done in the last, like, 100 years. Undoing the whole lot.
Literally, they're trying to reverse every single human right and civil right that was introduced since Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. It's absolutely crackers. We're talking about those executive orders. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but he's put a stop to certain days now, hasn't he? There's no Martin Luther King Day.
Oh, yeah. Basically, within government offices, they're now no longer allowed to celebrate or observe any of the special observance days, weeks, and months. So currently, the government offices are not allowed to observe Black History Month in the USA, which is currently going on. It's the month of February. They're not allowed to observe any of the national days along Trans Day of Remembrance. They're not allowed Trans Day of Visibility, LGBT days, there are any days, literally, but it's all days. There's a whole list of them.
Yeah.
It's about 35 days and months they're not allowed to observe.
And it's all those
Strangely
days.
Strangely enough, they're all from minority communities, yeah. these observance days. They're not from Armed Forces Day, the American Forces Remembrance Weeks. None of them yeah. are affected.
Yeah, so, that's right. And it's all things which have been fought for, and people have fought exactly. hard for them. They've lost lives yeah. over it. You know, everything has just been given to fight for those days. And he just, with one signature, takes it all away. Talking yep. of which...
And it's not just LGBT. It's Hispanic. It's any of the
yeah.
The Jewish observance days. It literally
there, that was
is,
another one. Holocaust.
Yeah. Total Holocaust, denial. Holocaust observance.
Yeah.
All gone.
Absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking.
It is absolutely diabolical.
But I was just going to mention there, I noticed this the other day. What does he sign them with?
Oh, it's a 1.5-inch thick Sharpie pen.
Yeah.
It's so big. It's so chunky. It makes...
It's like a crayon.
Effectively, it's a permanent crayon. But it is so big. When you hold it, it's like a young child holding a crayon to sign.
No, it's not, is it? He's got little hands, so it makes it look big.
No, it's no. it is an extra large Sharpie. How he gets them, I don't know, because most Sharpies are only about, a centimetre across. But his are easily getting on for 3 centimetres across. They're just unbelievable.
I'm going to investigate
like
that.
Giant marker pens.
I'm going to investigate that. I see if it is the size of his hands that make them look big.
Yeah.
There we go. Stop. Right. Okay, then, before we get too tied up with his pen, let's move on to our TikToker, Blake Kerwin. Now, on a recent night out in the Triology nightclub in Blackpool, 27-year-old transgender TikToker Blake Kerwin, he was attacked by a man attempting to steal his necklace. Now, this assailant approached him from behind, choking him in an effort to snatch the chain. Now, Kerwin, who has nearly 40,000 followers on TikTok, initially feared that the attack was due to his transgender identity, but later realised it was a robbery attempt. Now, he did manage to use some self-defense techniques to get rid of the attacker and keep them at bay until the security intervened. Who obviously he expressed his gratitude to the club staff and they retrieved his necklace. But the question is, what can we do for safety, Andrea? We know we've got certain things in place that people can go up to the bar and ask. What can we do otherwise to help keep ourselves safe?
I mentioned it a few times. That is an organisation, Strut Safe, here in the UK, where you phone the telephone number when you're walking home. However, I don't think Strut Safe would have actually been very beneficial because they were literally just outside the club. They were in the view of security.
Yeah. Okay?
So I would say it was a crime of opportunity rather than a premeditated targeted attack. They yeah. just saw the necklace and went to grab it.
Like I said, they initially thought it was because it was his transgender identity, but then realised afterwards that it wasn't. But he's been diagnosed with PTSD because of previous attacks for being trans. So that's not going to help him whatsoever. Now,
no, exactly.
It's just madness once again how this sort of thing is allowed to happen. I mean, it's a long time since I've been out clubbing, so I don't really know what it's like anymore. But when I used to go out, there wasn't like a major issue. You know, yes, you'd get the odd scuffle here and there, but nothing like this where you got, you know, violent, vicious attacks going on with people.
No, I mean, most of the times when I've gone out, I always leave with other people. I never leave on my own. And this is the best advice, is if you're going out to a club, go with a group of people and leave with the same group of people. Don't leave anyone behind out of the group unless they've gone into another group of people who you also know. But on the whole, always go as a group, because there is always safety in numbers.
Yep, very true.
Now, I'm not talking just one other person, because we know from past experiences that couples have repeatedly been attacked outside clubs in London and around the country. So always make sure it's at least three or four people in the group that you're with, because you'll be safer that way.
Yeah. Okay? Do you think social media could help?
Social media could, to a degree. If some certain organizations that run social media were to actually stop allowing people to promote hate and promote violence, then people would be less inclined to feel that it's okay to commit these sort of violent offenses.
Yeah.
And as Claire says, don't be afraid to fight back.
Yeah,
if you can, learn some self-defense techniques.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't need to be proficient with weapons. You don't need to be proficient with anything.
Not at all. Okay? Not at all.
And some people say, oh, we'll just punch them. No, I would advise, unless you're proficient in any form of punching sport, don't punch, because you'll do yourself more harm. Okay? But if you clench your fist and use your thumb is extremely strong. Keep it tight and jab with your thumb. It's extremely painful when it's done. It's a Japanese technique which works. Also, as Buzzy in the chat room says, eyes. Eyes are very sensitive.
Yeah.
But also, just under the chin, in the throat, feel the collarbone, where the collarbone goes in. If you can get a finger in there, push in and push down, you'll soon see how quick that person drops to the ground.
Yeah.
Not something for the squeamish, but trust me, when it's done, it works wonderfully.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different things. I mean, to protect yourself, go on YouTube and you can find techniques there. I mean, some that I was taught in the army, there's one way you'd cup your hands and you'd hit both ears at the same time. That just totally stuns them and puts them out of it, you know. But you've got to get them lucky ones in, even just one-handed, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You can to disable them so you can get away, that's what all you need to be doing. Even a swift kick in the old what's-it.
Angie says keys are good.
Yep.
I kind of agree, but I also disagree. Now, the vast majority of people, when they carry keys, they carry a car key, which in a lot of cases is a folding key. Not so good. House keys, not so good if they're a Yale-style key, because they're very short. You need something that is quite a long edge to it. So if you want to put a key fob on that is round, cylindrical, but approximately 3 inches long, so that when you've got hold of your keys, you can have that between your knuckles, so that if you need to, you have something protruding. And that does the same job as the thumb does in a strike.
Now, there was one thing which reminds me when we were told when we were kids, if anybody comes up behind you, curl yourself up into a ball and drop to the ground. Very difficult. Mm. Very difficult to anybody to do anything. But again, you know, try and assess the situation beforehand before the situation gets like that. You know, obviously try to avoid it at all costs. And as Andrea said there, go in a group and stay in a group.
The best form of defence is not to be where the attack is happening.
Claire says baseball bat.
Well, yeah, this is Claire. Claire goes out with a baseball bat every night. She goes clubbing with a baseball bat.
Literally. Wonderful.
We've seen her in pinks with a baseball bat tucked down the back of her dress.
Wonderful. Right. Okay, then. Before we get too deep into that, just a quick one. Have a look on YouTube. Learn some techniques. There we go. Right. I think it's time we introduce our guest. What do you think, Andrew?
Oh, most definitely, yes. Right. Yes, then. It's time.
I would like to say, everybody, welcome our brand new presenter. But I've already found out that they have already done 5 shows. Now, I'd like you all welcome Luke from lovely New York City. Hello, Luke. How are you?
Hello, how you doing? How's everybody doing today?
Hey, we're all good. We're all good. It's really nice to hear you.
Same, same. It's good to be here. I'm really happy for it.
Yeah. So just a little bit about you then, Luke. You've come onto the truck team as a graphic designer. And we've
I came on... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
It's all right. So tell us.
Yeah, so I actually came on... as a DJ.
All right.
So I sent Avril an email, letting them know, hey, I've been live streaming for about 2 years, DJing for about the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided, we need more representation. That's really where my focus is at, is to help the community. And then I found you all on Instagram, and I sent an email. I say, hey, can I join your team? And excellent. She's like, well, let me hear what you sound like, and here I am.
Excellent. Yeah, well, we've got lots of presenters from around the world. So welcome to the team. So
thank you so much.
You mentioned there that you've DJed before. Where did you used to DJ?
Yeah, I live stream on Mixcloud.
Right.
I've done a couple of gigs. I've got a few coming up. But they're like local gigs,
Right.
And before that I had a subscription. No, I'm small, like 20, 25 people.
Oh,
that's
all right. It's good. It's good.
So it's like, I'm just getting started, like 2 years. So this is my second year into it.
Okay.
And so I feel like there's some growth happening, and especially, joining Truck, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, Truck is absolutely fantastic. You get really to play loads of great tunes and have great shows on there. And like I say, we've got lots and lots of talented presenters and DJs. Once again, so welcome, and I look forward to listening to one of your shows. When are your show slots?
My show slots are on Thursdays, midnight your time, and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Right, wonderful. We shall.
That's Friday morning for all those in the UK.
Right, Friday morning.
Just to confirm that.
But so hopefully you can stay awake.
It'll be on in about 2.5 hours time.
Yeah, so you're gonna
right.
You'll be following. Yeah,
so 4.5 hours, 3.5 hours time.
Right. Oh, so wonderful. I do like different mixes of different genres. So it's like a mix show. Like all the music is blended together and stuff like that.
Excellent. So what sort of music could we hear tonight then?
Tonight we're doing High Energy from the 80s.
Oh, right.
So I don't know if you remember that song, High Energy.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
So, yeah, so stuff like that, because...
definitely a Hazel Dean fan in there.
Exactamundo, you already know. So, yeah, so...
We know Hazel personally, so...
Yes. Oh, do you? That's awesome.
Yes, we do, yes.
You'll have to come over and meet her.
Yeah, yes. I'm going to have to, yeah.
Yeah, she's patron of Trans Radio.
Oh, is she? All right.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
She has quite a lot of us.
Give her a shout out on your show.
I mean, it's pre-recorded, but shout out to Hazel Dean.
Yeah, I did want to say this, but Claire's put it in the chat room. Lots of talented DJs and Andrea.
Oh, snap.
Oh, thank you, Claire. You're so lovely.
You just love Claire. Yeah,
that's it. I'm going to cut your cheese allowance.
The cheese tax. Wonderful. Right then, so Luke, we've had a quick chat about you then. So what do you think and how do you feel about things that are going on over there, and how do you feel that they're affecting you?
Holy moly, it's it's bad.
Yeah,
it's
I think
bad.
We all know
it's
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like as soon as you think it can't get any worse, something else happens. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I didn't watch the inauguration because screw him. It happened on Martin Luther King Day. So I didn't want to focus on, what is it? Orange clowns.
Yeah.
I wanted to focus on the real stuff that was going on, which is Martin Luther King. Also, the last time I witnessed this kind of xenophobia was back in 9/11, which I survived firsthand. I was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I was out at Tower 7 when that all happened. So, I can totally... Like all this stuff that all this hate mongering and all this, these people are no good and all that is very reminiscent of 9/11. And so when you mix fear and ignorance together, you're not going to get a good blend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there much going on away from the media? So like people that in your neighborhood, your area, how are they reacting towards people?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really, thankfully, because pretty much pass for mail, so you know, I haven't gotten anything personally, but and I haven't heard any comments yet. I really don't want to.
Obviously
so
not.
I've just been living in stealth, you know, just kind of, you know, being safe, because where I live is actually a very conservative neighborhood in New York. Believe it or not, there are some, there are pockets of neighborhoods where they're for Trump, but most of us here in New York know that he's a three-card Monty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know what that is. No. But
are you going to tell us?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm going to tell, of course. So three-card Monty, back in the day, in the 70s and 80s, they used to have in Times Square, they would have these guys with cards, right? Like three cards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they would move them around and you try to figure out which one's the queen.
Yeah.
Or, right. So it was always a scam. Nobody ever won that stuff.
Of course not. No.
Right. So that's basically the same tactics that Trump is using. He's a scammer. Everybody in New York knows he's a scammer. And the people that know, we've known him for a long time. It's not like he popped up out of nowhere. For a lot of people now, they're looking at him like he's something new. But here in New York, we know he's scum for forever. So the lying, cheating, and stealing, that's basically how he got his money and how he's getting his power.
Yeah, well, we can all see that, can't we? I mean, he's getting rid of all the people who know what they're doing and putting his own cronies in there, you know. And
there
it's not helping. And it's got to be awful for you across there, not knowing what's going to happen and how it's going to affect you.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say personally is that, you know, sometimes leaving the building is a little scary. You know, I don't know when I'm going to be clocked, let's say.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's just a, you know, I just always have my guard up, whereas before I didn't really, you know,
yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common within the trans community at the moment.
Sure.
You're always trying to be aware of your surroundings and what's going on. You're constantly on edge until you're in a safe environment. And that's what does take a massive toll on the community, because it's very draining to be constantly observing literally everything around you and trying not to be that victim. So especially over in the States, that must be quite horrible at the moment.
Yeah, we're not used to living this way, which is not, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be really bad.
Yeah,
it's got Buzzy's in there saying he's lost more money than he's ever made. Well, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we?
This is a fact, yeah.
The only man in the world who runs a casino and it goes bankrupt. And he's looking after your economy? Good luck there.
Right.
So a quick question then for you then. How have the local LGBTQ plus communities and organisations responded to this political climate? Have you noticed any change, anything ramped up? Has it?
Yeah, definitely ramped up. Definitely, you know, they're doing their part. And like a lot of LGBT communities, the ones I would think of just off the top of my head are the LGBT network locally here in Queens, the Center, which is downtown in Manhattan.
Yeah.
There's an organization called Trans Latinx. There's a lot. So, and there's a lot of like sort of underground sort of like, you know, people, hey, we're going to meet up here in, let's say, Tompkins Square Park or other parks, you know, either doing food drives or whatever it is.
Has that underground side of things just started since, 2 weeks ago? Or is it something that's always been?
I think it's something that's always been. It's just more, you know, it's just happening more frequently now, I would say, you know. Yeah.
I mean, I know that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
A lot of there was always an underground movement anyway within the LGBT community across the US, because it was it wasn't until the late 60s, early 70s that people were able to actually be open about who they were, and even then, there was still a lot of stigmatism with it. So there were a lot of underground connections, and those connections are probably still there, but they've just been pretty dormant. But now they're coming back into full swing. Now, just before we move on, have they slowly moved away from using what is known as popular social media to more secure apps such as Signal for communicating, so that they're end-to-end encryption with no one in control, no Meta in control, should I say, which protects them. Is this the way that people are organizing? Are they doing it through more covert communication tools?
Well, I couldn't answer to that particular app because I'm not sure, but I do know that a lot of it is word of mouth. Nice. So a lot of times if we meet up somewhere, we'll tell each other, all right, this is happening here, or whatever, you know, or so definitely, like, if you're in the area of New York, you know, just get involved, man. Just, you know, support your businesses, support even libraries too. Like, a lot of libraries will have, you know, they're still able to have, you know, meetups and things like that. So, you know, go there, go to coffee shops, wherever. Just go, you know.
Yeah, there's going to be somebody about it. And you feel that's the safest way to communicate at the moment?
At the moment, you got to take what you can get, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, we're about to hang out like tomorrow with some friends just for burgers. And I don't even want to talk about politics with them in public. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I can imagine. Can imagine.
Yeah.
But
it's probably gotta be the worst subject at the moment.
Exactly.
But also the most relevant one. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yep.
So what would you say is your biggest personal concern about being trans in America right now?
Oof. Yeah. Honestly, the biggest one would be if the government figures out how they're gonna punish us, let's say, because we don't conform to their definition of gender. You know, I mean, the worst case scenario would be going to jail, throwing us in a cage because we don't want to conform to whatever documentation or whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my biggest fear, you know.
Right. Okay.
But
do you think it would go as far as that? Do you think he would? We know what he's like.
I think he's capable of anything. You know, like,
yeah.
He's like a big spoiled kid. Like, if it doesn't go his way, he throws a tantrum. He says ridiculous things. You know, so I mean, who knows? You know, he's high on power right now. So
there has been reports of some of the Latin community who have been deemed as illegal residents, have been taken away and put into holding camps, which basically, for want of a better word, is just another name for a concentration camp.
That's right.
Because they're being concentrated into these camps where they can be controlled.
Right. Just separated from their families, right?
Just like during the Second World War with Germany, where they put the Jews, the LGBT community, the Romanis into these ghettos and then into the concentration camps. So it's very, very similar to what has happened in the past. I just stress that Germany didn't invent the concentration camp.
That
was Great Britain that did that. We invented that. We invented the death camps. But it doesn't mean to say that they're right. And the fact that they're being used again in this century by what should be the leader of the free world. I say free very loosely because there's a lot of restrictions at the moment in the US, which means that you don't have freedom. So yeah, it's happening and it is shocking. So that might be what they have in mind. There's already been calls for it.
Yeah, I mean, this is all very upsetting. This is, I mean, just listening about what you're going on about there, Andrea, and what's happening, or Chris, and as well, Luke, it's just, so, I just, heart just goes out to all of you. You know, it's such a sad time for you.
It really is. It really is. I think the way to resist is, like, get informed. That's part of it. I actually started a book last night called The Cult of Trump. C-U-L-T. Yeah, this is written by a man who is an expert in getting people out of, deprogramming them out of cults and things like that. And basically he draws parallels between, like, famous cult leaders like Jim Jones and guys like that and Donald Trump. So a lot of the stuff that he does is very, very similar. Like, say, for instance, what you were saying, like, he's so outrageous. Like, he says these really outrageous, crazy things. And he does that for, like, he does that by design. He's doing that to control the people. He's doing that to confuse the people, get people in a state like we're in, right? Like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? My life is falling apart. And boom, it's so easy to control you that way.
Yeah, yeah. Claire has just gone and popped pictures in the chat room. And I thought these exact same things when I saw them earlier on today on social media. And we've got a picture of Trump there with his massive, what they're called? What's that pen called, Andrea?
Giant Sharpie.
Sharpie, there we go, there we go.
Oh, the so Sharpie, the crayon.
If you look in the chat room, you'll see that the pictures there with surrounded by kids. And just below it, we've also got Hitler there as well, surrounded by kids. Is this history repeating itself? And if it is, how do we stop it?
Oh, it is history repeating itself. And it is so blatantly obvious. But the problem of what happened in 1930s Germany was that good people did nothing. Mm-hmm. And this is the only way to stop it, is for all the good people to react in a way that says, we're not going to accept this. And shut it down.
Yep.
And that's what's lacking at the moment. They need everybody to stand up. A lot more people are now standing up because, well, with Fallon Trusk, Elon Musk, having invaded the financial system without any real authority to do so and taking over the financial payment system within the US, not only for making payments out to organizations who are working for government and government departments, but actually the American people's tax dollars get paid into that system. He now has full control of it. Yeah. A private citizen with no security clearance for that post has got access to your tax dollars, and he has control over where and how it is used. And a lot of people have gone, whoa, surely not. And they've stood up and said, no, you're not having it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hopeful that, you know, more people will be protesting and standing up, you know, because that's what made America anyway, right? Like, I mean,
yeah. You're dead right there, Luke. You're dead right. It's people have got to go, hang on a minute. Look at what he's actually doing. This is not just him bluffing any longer. He's actually doing it.
He's
doing
it.
You need to stand up and you've got to put a stop to it. Exactly. Not you personally, but, you know.
Well, me too.
Right, I've got one more question for you then, Luke. Okay, then. Yep. So if you had 5 minutes to address the nation about what it is really like to be trans in America under this administration, what would you say?
I would say, please put this orange Oompa Loompa mother flower in jail where he belongs, okay? Enough. Just put him in jail where he belongs. This is not a administration. This is a regime.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's get that straight, too. Anybody that has that kind of authoritarian power, that's a regime, all right? And it feels messed up. You know, it's messed up feeling, living like this. You know, I have read, you know, about like communist China. I've read about, like, my partner and I are watching on Netflix, How to Make a Tyrant. I don't know if you all have Netflix in the UK, but it's
not
a streaming.
Prehistoric.
I don't know. I don't know what you have. I don't know what's going on over there.
According to one TikTok.
It's a big ass pond between us. But anyway, so.
Apparently, one TikToker, we only got electricity 10 years ago.
Wow.
Honestly.
But anyway, yeah, so but on Netflix there's a show called How to Make a Tyrant, I think it's called. And it's basically, it's all the tactics that he's using. It's all the fear tactics, it's the scapegoating, it's all of that. So if they can come after one group of people, they're gonna come after everybody. That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, look, I've got a question that's been posed by Claire in the chat room. She's although she spelled your name wrong.
Strap in.
Spell it with W. she says, what song sums up Trump?
Oh, damn. That's, oh my God. Wow, I need a minute on that one.
Doobity-doo.
That's a good one, right there.
I don't know the words.
No, that's a good one. That's it. That's it. That's it right there. Yep.
What do you mean, the Oompa Loompa song?
That's the Oompa Loompa song. That's the one. That's it. Thank you. Thank you, AJ.
I expect to hear that on your show from now on.
Yes.
get that as a backing track. Yes. Perfect.
Oh yes, we'll have to do that. Right, okay then. So, Luke, please stay with us for the end of the show. Yeah. We've got a couple more things to have a chat about. Please jump in. Okay, so, Andrea. Rising identification as lesbian, gay, bisexual among the UK young adults is rising, according to the Office of National Statistics. What do you know about that?
Well, the ONS have basically indicated a significant increase in the number of young adults in the UK identifying as either LGBT. But the vast majority of them is actually identifying as bisexual. Mm-hmm. And this is within the age group of 16 to 24. And that has increased because they are aware. And this is why they're identifying. They're identifying with who they are. It's no longer a fear of saying, yeah, I fancy her and I fancy him. It doesn't mean to say that they're going to have sexual activities with a person that they feel romantically aligned with, but it does mean that they identify that they don't have a normal or don't have a cis heteronormative viewpoint on things. So they're accepting their bisexual identity and they're being open about it.
Yeah, and it's about time.
Because they can be.
It's about time. What do you think the reason is, though? Because I can't suddenly believe that there's something in the water that's suddenly making everybody bisexual now.
No.
There's a great analogy to this. Well, it's not an analogy. It's a great example of this happening. When I was younger and in school, all those many eons ago,
Slate.
If you wrote with your left hand, the teacher would slap the back of your hand with a ruler. Now, this was a common practice across the globe. Because left-handed was not seen as the correct hand. It was seen as writing with the devil's hand. That's a right. Stupid Christian misguided belief. Okay? And I don't mean that as in a Christian belief. I mean a stupid person who thinks they're a Christian using this as a belief system. Just because there may have been some minor inference to it in one of the multiply translated documents that became the Bible. Because we have to remember, what is currently the Bible, both here in the UK and in the US, has been translated 15 times, 15, 16 times from its original language of ancient Hebrew. And even ancient Hebrew doesn't align with modern Hebrew. So it's been changed so many times, a bit like a Chinese whisper. You hear a little bit and then you add and you add and you add. You add your own inference. And this has happened over the lifetime of this document that became the Bible. And we know that most of it is up for interpretation. And if you wrote with your left hand, that was seen as a sign of the devil. So it was frowned upon. Suddenly, when it became cruel and barbaric punishment to punish someone for writing with their left hand, there was a spike in left-handed writers. People who were naturally left-handed started writing with their left hand, and the numbers increased, especially within youngsters between the ages of 16 and 28. When this happened, there was a massive rush for people to start using their correct hand, which happened to be their left hand.
And
this is not an unknown phenomenon. And this, it's the same with sexual orientation and gender identity. It's exactly the same. Because it's become more acceptable, people have moved to identify with the way that they are sexually orientated or with their gender identity.
Yeah, I think it's got to do with that, and a lot to do with attitudes as well, isn't it, with the ages? As I'm just reading here that the identification of the LGB, as they call it, is more prevalent among the younger age groups, with only 0.9% of individuals over 65 identifying as LGB. So,
yeah, it's that in a sense is probably fairly accurate, but that's because, again, people in the upper age brackets were forced to keep everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they were at school, it was illegal.
Yes, you're right.
To be a member of the lesbian, gay, or bisexual community, mm-hmm. or to be open about it.
Yeah.
And even the age of consent, when it became legal, the age of consent for gay men was 21. Mm-hmm. Whilst it was only 18 for straight men and women.
Yeah,
and then you kind of see there was a lot of disparity. That's now come down to 18.
Yeah.
And
did you know
the laws have changed?
Did you know that there was no age limit for girls?
Absolutely none. There never has been.
Because there was something to do with the law many, many, many years ago. It ended up being a loophole, and they didn't want to admit that they'd got it wrong, so they just didn't put in an age of consent for girls.
They didn't actually want to admit to the fact that it was actually a common practice in pre-Victorian times for women to have lesbian relationships. Mm-hmm. It was a very common practice.
Yeah.
And it's not... I mean, what is now deemed as homosexual acts... weren't actually outlawed for a long time in British history. It wasn't until round about the 17th, late 17th, early 18th century, it became outlawed.
Right.
So it's not something that's been on the statute books forever. It's still fairly recent history that these draconian laws came in. Again, I stress, these are by people who have taken things from the Bible and twisted it to mean what they want. And that's what it is. Now, I saw a great TikTok earlier about this woman who is meeting with the president. And she's quoting, or she quotes Leviticus chapter and verse, why it shouldn't be allowed. But then the president then turns around and says, oh, by the way, can I just ask you, what's a fair price to sell my daughter? Because under a certain chapter and verse of the Bible, I'm allowed to sell her. Okay? And then he goes on to quote several other aspects, all taken from the Bible, one of which killing one of their workers who works on the Sabbath. And they literally tear up this whole doctrine of the Bible is the law, which should never be the law. The Bible is a guidebook for those of the Christian belief. It's not a guidebook for the whole population. So it should never be used as the law. And this is why the state and the church should always be separate.
It's true.
It's very true, yeah. I totally agree with you. Right, do we have any other business, Andrew, before we move on?
Well, somebody just flashed something up in front of me, and I'm kind of wondering what that is, but actually I think it's more to do with Eurovision.
Yes, so Eurovision then, what's happening there? Has the song been chosen?
Well, apparently the UK entry has been selected, as revealed by a certain radio station by Scott Mills.
Yeah.
Whilst the specific details remain under wraps, Mills has hinted that the chosen song is promising.
Promising. Hmm. How many points do you think we won't get?
Nil point.
Nil point. Okay. Wonderful. So this year it's in Basel in Switzerland as they won last with Nemo's The Code. And it's
apparently
the semi-finals are scheduled for the 13th and 15th of May and the grand finals on the 17th of May. And if I remember correctly, we are one of the seven countries that goes through automatically.
We are, because we're one of the founding countries.
Yeah.
Now, ironically, the founding countries have an automatic pass into the final stages of the competition. And it's mainly because we're one of the funders of the organization.
Yeah. What do you think we could do this year to make it a great song? What do you think it needs to do?
Well, we've got so much vocal talent around the country and so much amazing musical artists that they need to stop looking at the mainstream and start looking at all the indie artists that are out there, because there are so many absolutely fantastic indie artists. But it has to be full of fun. It has to be lively. And the biggest thing that we could do is drop all political allegiances with hateful organizations.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the competition, the votes are on a political basis.
Sorry. And I've just read what Alice has said.
We're just going to lose.
Alice has just said in the trap room, mime.
Well, yeah, we could always try that. I don't think that would work. But yeah. We literally need to start shunning all these, because when the UK was part of Europe and was a real a real positive influence within Europe, we were winning. But now we're not. And what's changed is we've become a negative in Europe.
Yeah.
And subsequently, all these countries around Europe, all the populations are going, yeah, it's UK. No, they don't worth it. They're not worth it.
Yeah, they're not interested in us anymore. But that's a whole other subject, isn't it? Yeah.
Or as Claire says, we could just send in Ant and Dec.
Yeah, and keep them, please. Sorry, not my favourites. Right, well, we're fast moving towards the end of the show.
Yes, it's gone really fairly quick.
This has.
It sure has.
It's been great. So, Luke, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you.
Same.
I'm going to definitely be waiting up tonight listening to your show.
Awesome.
Which, again, what time's it on?
Appreciate it. Yeah, it's on at midnight, and we're playing High Energy tonight from the 80s, because that's what our ancestors danced to while they were struggling with the AIDS epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I wanted to give a nod to our ancestors to give us some strength to move forward.
Brilliant.
Through all this ridiculous nonsense, stupidity that we're being shafted for.
With reference to the AIDS epidemic, just so that those that aren't aware,
okay, yes,
one of the things the Orange Clown has also done was to shut down a lot of HIV information over in the States, and they've cancelled a lot of aid that goes to countries that help to fight AIDS medication, and that literally is likely to spike another epidemic of infections of HIV. So just be HIV aware, be HIV safe, and get checked regularly.
Yep. For sure.
Most definitely. That's great advice anywhere around the world, that get checked regularly. Okay, then. So we've got less than a minute left. Who's up next, Andrea?
And it is Tara T with the Ska, Reggae and Two Time Show.
And then after that, we have...
Well, actually, I think it's a pop-up show. It should have been the Shelley Jane Extravaganza, but we have a pop-up show. And I'm not quite sure who it is.
And then after that, we have...
We have Claire with the Late Night Show. I can't remember what it's called. This is terrible. I've not looked at the titles.
We've had a very busy week this week. So
it's been extremely busy trying to keep on top of everything that's going on.
Yes.
It's too much. It's really a lot.
Yes, so at 11 o'clock, we've got the late night show with Claire McKay. And then at 12 midnight, we have...
Me?
The melting pot.
Yeah. So it's a dog toy, but it's for my cat. So yeah. There it is.
Wonderful. Right then, everybody. That's it then. We'll be back with you the first Thursday of next month. And we so look forward to it. So until then,
thank you so much. Thanks
for
having me.
I'd like to thank Luke for joining us from New York City. I'd like to thank Andrea for being my sidekick as usual. And she'd like to thank me for being her sidekick.
I would. I'd also like to thank everybody in the chat room who's been there and posting comments. And if you want to continue, jump on to TikTok and join Alice Louise, who's taking the After the Continued show on TikTok Live.
Right, everybody, take care. Look after yourselves. Bye for now.
Peace.
Bye.